All right, you've probably have heard about the senseless killing in Maryland of Duncan Limp, a young man who was killed in his own home in the middle of the night by a police raid. And why? Well, his family and some reporters have been trying to get the answer to that, but it seems like there is a cover-up. This actually happened over a month ago. And one reporter who is covering this is Jim Bovard, USA Today Board of Contributors, a frequent contributor to The Hill, contributing editor for The American Conservative, and author of 10 books, including Lost Rights and Freedom in Chains. I want to welcome Jim Bovard. Jim, thank you for coming on this morning.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for having me on.
And you're one of the you're like a dinosaur. You're one of the last remaining investigative reporters in America. I hope that doesn't offend you, but I mean, you're almost extinct.
No, it's you know, part of the reason why I was laughing is you know, folks call me a dinosaur is one of the nicest things that gets said about me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's just reporters don't ask questions anymore. You get a press release from whatever government entity, and then you just basically. Rewrite that, or maybe not even rewrite it, just print it as it was, and then you might get a sound bite from whatever government entity person, the governor or whoever, and that's it. No person who's affected by that, nobody who has a problem with that, just report what the government tells you.
Well, it saves time.
And it saves money, too, the editors say.
Oh yeah, you know, I agree with you. It's very frustrating and sad to see that most journalism is so deferential to the government. I mean, it has become a lot more that way in the last few decades. And I'm chagrined to see so much of the press coverage, like with this pandemic, is it's like, well, you know, the government said this, so we got to shut down everything.
Yeah.
It's like, well, is there a counter argument? Are there any victims? Nope. Government said so.
Yeah, right. So we just do automatically what they say. Well, and actually, this COVID shutdown and the stay-at-home order is actually one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on, because the family of Duncan Limp has a right to protest what has happened to him, and yet they can't do it because they're going to be fined or jailed for violating a stay-at-home order.
Yeah, the thing that happened, the Duncan Limp case got spurred by, according to the police, back in early January, someone made an anonymous tip that Duncan Limp had firearms, and apparently he wasn't supposed to, according to the police. And so the cops started investigating, and 2.5 months later, the cops do a no-knock raid at 4:30 a.m., and this raid, according to the family, started out with police shooting into Duncan Limp's bedroom window. He was apparently fatally wounded in bed prior to the police even entering the home with their no-knock warrant. Cops threw in flashbangs. Cops badly wounded his pregnant girlfriend who had been sleeping next to him. And then, you know, the cops came in and they found a few guns, and the cops put the photos of the guns online, like, this proves it was justified to do the raid, and implying it was justified to kill him. But the cops haven't yet published a photo of his bullet-ridden corpse. And that's, you know, that's kind of relevant to how the raid went down.
Mm-hmm. And what else would be relevant is what was the problem with him having guns in the first place, and why, if it wasn't such an emergency to go and kill him right away, why'd you wait 2 months to do it in the middle of the night?
Yeah, there are a lot of questions, and the Montgomery County Police have been saying almost nothing. You know, based on how this went down, it looks like that the SWAT team was so afraid of Limp that someone had told the police investigator something. My hunch is there was at least one informant who basically made the government paranoid. I mean, there was no evidence of Limp, you know, using violence or making any violent threats against anybody else. And yet, here he is at 4:30 in the morning getting shot by the SWAT team without warning. So There's a lot of questions. There were affidavits police used to get the search warrant. What the police did is have those sealed for 30 days, and then when the 30 days was up, the police said, well, there's a pandemic, it's an emergency, we can't tell you yet. I think that the affidavits will at least let us know what the police told the judge who gave them the no-knock warrant. But, I've been writing about the evils of no-knock warrants for 25 years. I was doing stuff for Playboy back in the 1990s on this. And it's very often horrendous abuses, and it's overkill, and cops are almost never held liable for people who they shoot, wound, kill, or dogs that they kill in these kind of raids. Mm.
Yeah, there actually was, I think it was earlier this year, maybe last year, another... after these red flag laws were put into place in Maryland, there was another person that was killed like this, right?
Yeah, it was an early morning raid. I'm not fully up to speed on that, but it was over close to Annapolis. It was a guy who someone was concerned about him having guns, so the cops, did a violent raid and ended up killing the guy. But take a step back to Duncan Limp. I don't know there was a red flag raid because, according to the police, there was something that Limp did before he was 18 that meant he was prohibited from owning guns until he was 30. Talking to the family lawyer is not aware of anything that Duncan Limp did before during the time he was a juvenile that would make him a prohibited person. But it was that category prohibited person that the police have used to justify their violent raid. But if you look in some rural areas, there are a boatload of people who have prior convictions who have firearms for self-defense or for hunting or whatever. And, the government doesn't need to go kill them.
Right, exactly. Duncan Limp was a 21-year-old man who, by the way, as you have written about, his last tweet, "The Constitution is dead." My goodness.
Yeah, and he's someone who was becoming involved with some pro-gun groups, pro-Second Amendment groups. He was very tech-savvy. He was volunteering to set up free websites and secure communication for them. Some people speculated that's part of the reason he was on the government radar. I wish I knew more about this, and I'm still elbowing. But so far the killing has been almost completely covered up. I don't know if that's going to last. But the state of Maryland is one of the worst states in the country as far as getting justice after a policeman kills somebody, because there's something that called the Law Enforcement Officers Bill of Rights, which basically gives police all kinds of special advantages after they shoot someone. So, I mean, it's a completely biased playing field. It has been a complete disaster in a place like Baltimore, where the police shoot so many people. It hasn't been as bad in the past in Montgomery County. Prince George's County, Maryland, was famous for having the highest rate of police shooting civilians in the country. So Maryland's a mess as far as this goes.
Yeah, absolutely. This happened in, you said, Montgomery County. That's Potomac, Maryland, is the town. It's an affluent Washington suburb. And did you find in your investigating, Jim, that the family could concur and say, yeah, when he was 16, Duncan did this, and that's why? Or, I mean, does anybody have any kind of insight on why he wasn't allowed to own a gun?
No, I mean, I've spoken to the family lawyer. I've spoken to family members, and it is their understanding that there was nothing he had done that would prohibit him from owning a firearm after he turned 19, 20, 21. So, I mean, I'm not sure the latest law and the age in Maryland for owning a rifle, but they keep changing the damn law. But no, I mean, the folks I've talked to are not aware of anything. And this is a real simple question. I mean, this would be easy for the police to say, okay, back when he was 17, there was this and this, and that was part of the predicate for the raid. Simple to do. It would not violate any, it would not mess up their investigation. Police are not saying anything. It's almost as if they think they have a right to kill with impunity and not answer any questions.
Well, even if that scenario was a case, you know, he was involved in an armed robbery at 17 or whatever it was.
It could happen to anybody.
Sure. Why would the police then, once they heard that he had guns, why wouldn't they show up during the day and knock on the door and say, hey, we're from the Montgomery County Police Department. Just wanted to see, do you really have guns? Because you're not supposed to. Wouldn't that have been the way to handle it?
That's a civilized way. I mean, and this is something that goes back to an English law, to, I think, 1604, that the sheriff must knock and announce when he's executing a search warrant issued by a judge. And this was a standard here in the U.S. until a few decades ago, when the SWAT teams got going crazy, when the war on drugs got going crazy, and all of a sudden, there are many police forces who will use a SWAT team for practically anything, even for a routine search warrant. But I mean, having met the Lemp family, I mean, if the cops had shown up at 9 a.m., knocked on the door, I'm sure that they would have said, "Okay, come on in." It's like that line from the Grateful Dead song. I like to get some sleep, but if you got a warrant, I guess you're going to come in. Yeah. And there wouldn't have been a shootout. Yeah. I mean, but there wasn't a shootout in this because it was only the SWAT team shooting, and apparently the SWAT team started shooting into the bedroom even before they warned him that a raid was going down. And it's 4:30 a.m. So my impression is that there was some informant told the police something that had them terrified and justified them, going in shooting. And if it was a mistake by the SWAT team, the Montgomery County Police has not admitted it yet.
Yeah.
Okay, if you had one SWAT member screw up, fine. Who was it? What happened? Nope. Everything we did was fine.
Well, maybe it was his terrifying size at 5'8", 145 pounds, or maybe it was his pregnant girlfriend that they were afraid of. I'm not sure. I don't know.
But, there's a lot of government dishonesty here so far.
Yeah.
And hopefully it's possible to peel that onion.
Well, let's hope so. And if it can be peeled, I know that you'll be the one to do it. And folks can follow you at jimbovard.com. JimBovard.com. Also can look for your columns at American Conservative and others, USA Today Board of Contributors. Investigative reporter, a dinosaur, Jim Bovard. The Wall Street Journal called him the roving inspector general of the modern state. That's a pretty good title to have there. Jim, thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate the work you do. And if we get some more information, we'll have you back on, okay?
Hey, thanks so much for having me on, and thanks for your interest in this killing.
Yes, sir. Back in a moment. This is the Tom Rutten Morning Show.